Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, and you know what that means. Plenty of room for you right now to get in with your question. If you've got a question tonight about a scripture passage, or maybe there's something you heard in church this past weekend and you're still scratching your head wondering about it, then let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. And just a special invitation to our first-time callers. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've already called in the past, but you've got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church, whatever it might be, and you're looking for that grace-based perspective. Well, that is precisely why we're here for the next half hour for you. So go for it, 877-655-6755. We're going to start out tonight in Canada, and we'll talk with Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hello, Andrew. My question tonight is this. This is what I heard, that when you're saved and born again and all that, that means you live in grace and freedom. In other words, that you have to, first of all, that you're, you have freedom. Freedom to obey or freedom to sin. God is not mad at you if you sin, though. And you may choose to, you know, continue sinning, but you will not enjoy it. You will want to obey. That seems to be the question. Are you really, truly living free, I guess?
Okay, all right. Well, I think a lot of what you had to say there is certainly the gospel truth. I mean, we see Romans 8, verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ and you've got that new heart, you've got a new spirit, you've got God's spirit living in you, then there's no condemnation for you. So there's no cause for punishment. Jesus Christ took it all. And that's a beautiful thing. But you'll also notice that part of being in Christ is exactly what I just described, that new heart and that new spirit. And so part of what you mentioned there, I think, is worth highlighting, that we don't really want to sin. I mean, speaking of Romans, this time in the sixth chapter, it says we're slaves of righteousness. And in fact, Paul's logic is, how can you live in sin any longer? So if you're a slave of righteousness, if you've got a new obedient heart, if you are addicted to Jesus at the core, which every believer is, we have an undying love for him. We have a new heart that desires what he wants. So how can you live in sin any longer? In fact, I think you said it would make you miserable. Well, that's exactly right. You could be forgiven and miserable. You can be free from condemnation, but miserable. So, you know, this expression, you're free to sin. It's interesting. The Bible never says that. So I don't think I would put it that way, because freedom to sin is not real freedom. It's freedom from sin that is real freedom. So just let that sink in for a minute. Freedom to sin is not real freedom. Freedom from sin is genuine freedom. So the point there being that if you're going to go out and sin, you're putting yourself in bondage. That's not freedom. So freedom to be bound up, that's what we're saying. It's an oxymoron at that point. You're free to be bound up in sin. Well, who wants that? It's like saying you're free to eat poison. It's like saying you're free to go eat from the dumpster when you've been offered the best meal on the planet. There's a place I love to go in Albany, Texas. They've got the best prime rib you could ever put in your mouth. It is unreal. Now, when I travel 4 hours or 3 hours to get there by car, the last thing I want to do is go out back and look for food in the dumpster. I'm going in the dining room. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to order that prime rib because it's the best thing going. And so to say that I'm free, you know, if the owner of the restaurant were to stand at the door and say, Andrew, you're free to go to the dumpster if you'd like, you're free to go to the dumpster. Well, I can tell you right now, I'm going to spend exactly 0 minutes in the dumpster. I'm going in for prime rib. So you see my point there. Freedom to sin is really no freedom at all. It's freedom from sin, freedom from the dumpster that is true freedom. So I hope that helps, my friend. Ponder that. Give us a call back anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go now to Texas, and we'll talk with Dee. Hi, Dee.
Hi,
hey, Andrew. What's on your mind tonight, Dee?
Well, my husband's been listening to you or ex-husband. We've been divorced five years.
Okay.
But he's been listening to you, and I've seen a change in his life. But you know, Moses, where Jesus said that God gave Moses a writing of the divorcement because of the hardness of men's hearts, and I see a change, but I'm just broken. I spent almost 20 years praying for him, and nothing changed, and then it did, but I don't know what to do.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, what if you're allowed to do what you want to do? I mean, you've been divorced for 5 years?
Yes.
Are you feeling pressure to get back? Is it a want to, or are you feeling wrangled into it?
I really don't know.
Okay. Well, what I would say, first of all, then, Dee, is proceed slowly. There's no hurry on this. You could take a year to think about it. I mean, you don't need to be deciding today, tomorrow, next week, or next month. It sounds to me like you need to pray about this and let God lead you through your heart and your mind and give it time and not be in a hurry. But certainly you don't need to be feeling pressure. This is not the God of the universe saying you gotta get back with him. It sounds like the marriage was not healthy. You were praying for 20 years for change of some kind. So any human in their right mind would be hesitant about going back into a situation that might have been harmful or abusive or difficult or whatever it was. So I think you need to be discerning and move slowly and be careful. And, you know, if you want to, if it's on your heart, you spend time with him and get to know him again. But if you're absolutely petrified of the thought of getting back together with him, then you don't need to be feeling any pressure at all. I mean, here you are living in absolute freedom. You're unmarried, divorced for 5 years. You can live in the present. You can trust Christ with this. So whatever pressure you're feeling, that is not God. God is not applying pressure to you, and you need to know that. We were just talking about freedom. Well, you're living in the midst of freedom. And so you can be led internally by the Spirit of God, who will motivate your heart and your mind. And he's given you a sound mind. And he may say to you, Dee, watch out. There's too many red flags right now, whether things were violent or difficult or there was emotional abuse or physical abuse or anything else that was a struggle for you. Maybe he had some addictions or who knows. I'm just guessing in the dark here, but you had a lot of red flags that caused you to seek divorce after 20 years, and that was 5 years ago. So there's no hurry to do something new tomorrow or next week or next month. Proceed slowly. Trust God with this. Pray about it. Let time pass. He will reveal it to you. Don't get married guilt. Don't get married or pursue him out of obligation or guilt or even loneliness. You'll learn quickly, as I'm sure you already did, that no man on the planet is the answer to your problems. Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. So the reason we would get married is because we see Christ in them and Christ in us, and God's moving in them and God's moving in us. And it's a beautiful picture of Christ and the church. And we want to unify because we have an undeniable love in our hearts for each other. I mean, you need to have absolute clarity before you would move forward in that direction. I would do everything I could to not be married. In other words, given what you've gone through, do whatever you can to not be married. And what I mean by that is, don't rush it. Give everything a chance to blow up. Give everything a chance to go wrong, and give it a chance to be a period of discovery for both of you that, hey, this isn't the right thing. Pray about it. Ask for discernment. Ask for wisdom. Go slow. Make no rash decisions. It will become obvious. But I can tell you that any guilt you're feeling or pressure you're feeling, it may come from him. It may not. It may come from your own thinking, but it's not coming from God. And so just be patient, trust the Lord in this, take it day by day, ask God for wisdom and discernment, and it will become clear. The fact that you don't know today means you shouldn't do anything today. You shouldn't head in any direction today. You can just stand firm and live in the moment. So those are my thoughts for you, my friend. And if you don't have my book yet, it's called The Hurt and the Healer. It will help on this topic. We can send that out to you if you'd like. So hang on the line there. We'll see if you've got it or not, and we'll send it your way as a free gift just to encourage you, Dee. Thanks for your call tonight, and reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go now to Colton listening in Canada. Hi, Colton.
Hello.
Hey, what's on your heart tonight, Colton?
So I am a born-again Christian for nearly 3 years now. I'm 27, and I'm baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church. But since then, I'm no longer Catholic. I follow the Bible word for word. And I was wondering, do I need to be baptized again?
Okay. Well, you know, we really need to just talk about the word need there, because let's focus on what baptism is. It's a beautiful celebration. So it's like asking, do you have to have a birthday party if you were born? Well, you don't have to, but boy, it's fun. You invite friends over. They get to celebrate with you. It becomes a big deal because you're celebrating your birth. What about an anniversary? Let's say you were married and it's time to celebrate your anniversary. Do you have to? No, it's not a have to, but you're married, and it's something beautiful to celebrate. So you plan an evening together, you go out to a nice restaurant, you give her flowers, you celebrate the anniversary, you tell her what she means to you, and so on and so forth. Why? Because you're celebrating. It's not an obligation, it's a celebration. Well, so it is with baptism, and by the way, the same thing with the Lord's Supper. I mean, the Lord's Supper doesn't make you right with God. The Lord's Supper doesn't make you saved or keep you saved, but it's done in remembrance, as Jesus said, in remembrance of him. So let's talk about the Bible. You love the Bible. You want to follow exactly what the Bible says. Well, in Acts chapter 10, there were folks who were saved. They received the Holy Spirit. They were children of God, and they had not been water baptized. So you can take it to the bank that water baptism doesn't save a person. Water baptism doesn't make you right with God. But Peter discovers that they've already been saved, that they already have a relationship with Jesus, that he lives inside of them. So he says, what prevents them from being baptized in water? So it's about what prevents you. In other words, that's what we're asking. Why not, Colton? Why not celebrate? If you are newborn in Christ, if you have a recent relationship with Jesus where You have received him into your life and come to understand him as Lord and Savior of your life, then why not celebrate with a group of friends and make a party out of it? Because that's exactly what it is. And when you go down into that water, it is a visual representation, a physical symbol of what happened to you spiritually. You say, well, what happened to you spiritually? Well, you at salvation, when you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, you were crucified, buried, and raised to newness of life. That's what salvation is. It's being born again. So in order to be born again, you have to die first. Your old self dies, your old spiritual self, who you were before when you were disconnected from God, your old spiritual self died, and then you were resurrected as a new person in Christ. So when you go down into the water, whether it's a week from now or a month from now or a year from now, whenever you do it, at this celebration, you're saying, look, everybody, I'm in Christ. Look, everybody, I was crucified, buried, and raised in Jesus Christ spiritually. It already happened. Just like you're already born, but you might have a birthday party. It already happened years ago. I think you said you were in your mid-20s. Well, 20-some years ago, you were born. But this year, you'll have a birthday party. Doesn't mean you're being born. You're celebrating what already happened. Well, so it is with water baptism as well. So it's not a have-to get right or stay right with God. It is literally a beautiful representation of what's already occurred in your spirit. So, Colton, I hope that gives you what you're looking for. And, in fact, I've got a chapter on water baptism in my book, Twisted Scripture. And I'm giving out books tonight, it seems like. So hang on the line there. We'll get you a copy of this. And since you're fairly new to the faith, I think this will really firm up some important things for you in terms of the love and grace of God. So it's called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. And one of those lies has to do with the idea that water baptism might make you right with God. So I think you'll like that chapter. I think it'll give you further clarity. And I hope you enjoy the book. And please reach out to us again anytime. Give us a call back. We'd love to hear from you. Hang on there. We'll get you this book. All right. Let's go now to Jammin. Listen in Dixon, Tennessee. Hey, Jammin.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you so much for taking my call again.
Yeah.
So as I practice the art of doing nothing, if you will, my question is about the sufficiency of Christ. Now, I understand that Christ is not in competition with anything in my life as far as the worldly things, and that we're supposed to put all our trust in Christ. And really, when it comes down to it, is Christ is sufficient for everything and all, but if I'm honest with you, man, there's many times where I don't feel like Christ is sufficient, because if he is, then why is it that I continue to allow myself to be wrapped around the finger of a woman who continues to break me down because she rejects the truth that I try to witness to her? I came over here in this country to do that, and she's not on a truth quest, and I'll be good for so long, and then I'll have a problem with her, and I'll just feel like I want to give up. And when I think about leaving her, I feel like I don't want to be on this earth anymore if I leave her, because, well, she kind of takes care of me and financially and so many other ways. But if Christ is sufficient, then shouldn't I just be fine with
it? Is she a believer, and are you married to her? Or
I'm not married to her, man, and this is embarrassing to admit, but I'm not married to her. She is not a believer. She's okay. Actually still living with her kids and her husband. Her husband broke her heart years ago by cheating on her.
But okay. All right, well, let me jump in there, Jammin, for the sake of time. I mean, what you're describing is no surprise. I mean, there's literally thousands, millions of men that are in relationships that are not healthy for them, and it really has nothing to do with the sufficiency of Christ. You're saying how can Christ be sufficient if you keep going back to this woman? Well, you could go back to this woman 5,000 times, and it wouldn't change the sufficiency of Christ. I mean, you're still miserable. I mean, look at you. You're miserable. You don't want to do it. You're doing the very thing you don't want to do. So you can go back to her 5 and 10 and 30 and 50 times, and it's going to be like touching the hot stove over and over and over. You're going to get the same effect. It's like the mouse who goes down the same avenue of the maze over and over and gets that electric shock. Eventually they learn, but it might take quite a while. And I think that's where you're at. I'm not trying to make light of your situation, but you're going to prove the sufficiency of Christ one way or another. You're going to prove it by rejecting this person that God says is no good for you right now because she's not a believer. What fellowship does light have with darkness? That's not God being mean or stingy. That's God trying to help you out. That's not God withholding his best. That's God trying to save you from the worst. So Christ is sufficient and his counsel is sufficient, and his counsel in this is what fellowship does light have with darkness. So you're going to prove that he's right one way or another by hanging out with this woman and being miserable, or by deciding what you know is healthiest and finding fulfillment elsewhere. So you're tied to her financially. I would encourage you to find a job. Do whatever it takes. If you have to earn minimum wage, or I don't know how it works over there and where you are, but it sounds like you're dependent on her. You're going to have to be independent in terms of that. So that's going to require some real action on your part. It's been a while now that you've been supported by her, it sounds like. So during that time, I would ask you, did you go out and look for a job once, twice, 10 times, 100 times? Be proactive. Get a job. Work with your hands. Earn a living. Earn your own keep, own your own place, or rent a place. Get out from under her, because you can see how miserable it's making you, and your mind is just confused, and you don't want to do it, and you end up doing it, miserable man that you are. So the sufficiency of Christ stands, and his advice in this, of course, is, what fellowship does light have with darkness? He wants the best for you. He's not holding out on you, so you can keep eating from the dumpster, so to speak, as I was saying earlier, or you can move away from that and look for some real healthy food. So you see what I'm saying there. Again, my point is that God has the market cornered on fulfillment, and anytime we're trying to define our own version of wisdom and what's best for us, we're going to get that same effect over and over and over, frustration and disillusionment. So I would advise you to take some action. I mean, you're calling me for help. You've called a few times. Let's take some action. Let's move along. Let's look for some work. Let's try to earn a living. Let's move out when we can. Let's tell her that we're not going to remain in the relationship with her and that we have good reasons, and move along no matter whether she rejects you or not. But it's going to tear you apart, or whatever you said, and that's the flesh. I mean, the flesh is going to ache and groan and say, get me back in that place of comfort. Get me back in that place that you had me. That's the flesh. But that's not your new heart. That's not your new self. That's not really who you are. So you can continue on and have the same effect over and over for another decade. Or you can make the healthy choice, ask God for wisdom, and get out from under that dependency. So those are my thoughts, my friend. I hope that helps, and reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, well, we ran out of time. I guess I wanted to get Randy, but Randy will ask you to call back tomorrow from Fort Worth, and we'll see what's on your mind. And if you liked what you heard tonight in terms of God's love and God's grace and God's forgiveness and what it means to have that new heart and that new spirit and to be united with Jesus forever, well, we could use your support, as you could help us reach even more people with this beautiful message of God's grace. Go to our website at andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Click on the donate tab there. It takes just a couple of minutes to partner with us. And right at this time, with all of this pandemic going on, let me tell you, we could use your help. and it would mean the world to us. So go to our website, take a couple of minutes, and support us today.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.